Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, but we're live right now.
Okay.
I don't know why I keep hearing the startup music though.
Can you hear it?
No.
Was you clicking it?
We're live right now.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Not yet. Hold on. I'm sorry. We messed the intro up on this one, but not a problem.
To suffer, if I suffer, I'll have eternal life. When I see Jesus, amen. When I see Jesus,
welcome once again to Hodge Broadcast Podcast. I am the messenger, and I have my brother, my right-hand man, with me. I continue to daily try to get those that are in darkness to begin to open their eyes to see and understand just who they are and whom they are. I say good evening to you, my brother, and how was your day?
I count it all joy, brother messenger. My day was
beautiful. Beautiful.
In fact, I'm thinking about getting some t-shirts put out with Messenger Podcast, and in the back, I count it all joy.
Count it all joy. Yes, indeed. In spite of what it may look like, we got to count it all joy. And when we begin to condition ourselves to think of it in a positive way instead of a negative way, then it really doesn't have the effect on us that it would normally have, because we're now not allowing it to, because we understand the bigger picture and we know that it's going to be all right. He's spoken to us, and he's left it on record that everything is going to be all right. And so we've just got to continue to learn how to walk in that faith, knowing that he is not a man that he should lie to us. The Spirit reveals it to us. We just have to trust and believe.
Talk to him, big bro.
So today I just want to go over and just talk about what we need to do. And I know what happens is a lot of times it sounds redundant, but it's because it's something that we have to renew in ourselves. We've been taught to think a certain way for so long, and it's important that not only that when we bring this message, we say things over and over again to you, but it's time for you to start repeating them yourselves, because the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink it. And so we can show you the way, but just as Jesus said, you have to make that choice. But as I said to you before, the choice, you can make it now, you can make it later. It doesn't matter when you make it. It's just up to you. When do you decide that you want to walk in your true glory, or how long do you want to, quote unquote, suffer and go through all unnecessary stuff that you don't have to go through? Because we are truly, truly, truly blessed in spite of everything. As the brother was saying, as far as counting it all joy, to see things go different ways that we didn't expect throughout the day, yes, that does happen. But we have to understand, step back for a moment and look at, as they would say, the big picture. And right now, we're looking at things from such a minute perspective that we are missing God in His glory. His glory is at work 24/7. They want you to believe that He rests, but God didn't rest. God isn't man where He got tired. The Spirit is always moving. It is energy. It is always moving. And so God is always at work. God doesn't have downtime. He needed to rest. All He did was spoke the word. Yes, sir.
When you say walk in your full glory, what does that mean?
What does that mean? That means walking knowing that each step and the things that you're doing it with the blessings, per se, of God. And when you know that you have the blessings of God, then you walk a different way. You look at things a different way. A good example of that is if you go into a Mercedes-Benz dealer and you know without a shadow of a doubt you get the money to pay for it cash, you got a different kind of walk than you do when you walk in there and know you ain't got no money, right?
Amen.
And so walking in the glory, just knowing, first of all, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Then you won't be walking with your head down. You will be walking with your head up because you are a child of the Most High. And we have to walk in that glory. And then when you begin to walk in that glory, things, because the way the universe is set up, things just start to happen. And it happens what? For the good, because all things work together for the good. And this is what we have to come to understand. And I must say this to anyone that's out listening. It's important that you know that me, as a deliverer of the word, I'm still striving. Because that same brainwashed mentality that you went through, you heard that song that started this program. I've been through it too. And it's just not something that you could just turn off, but we have to constantly remind ourselves. We have to constantly continue to seek better. Not that it was so bad, but I'm just saying that it can be so much better because of who we are. We don't need to look to anyone for anything because any and everything we need is within us. It's within us that we can do just what it is that we please. And we've said this numerous times, you can do just what you please, but you have to understand certain things you do, what it entails, and what comes with it.
You know, brother, one of the things that Bible verse, we're just going to start with, I'll still refer to the book as the Bible, as in that is the name of it. It has a different meaning. But a Bible verse was, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When people hear that, why is it the first thing they think of is like, when it says no weapon, we think guns, knives. No weapons is so much larger than that. So if I was to say to you, my brother, no weapon formed against you, what would you define a weapon as?
I would find a weapon as anyone trying or saying or looking to do me some harm for no reason at all. And there is no reason to do anybody any harm. So you talking bad about me, that's a weapon, because your tongue is a weapon. But we don't realize our tongue to be happen because of who we don't think we are. But we have the power in the tongue to speak into existence. So you can speak evil things of me. That's a weapon. You can think evil things of me. That's a weapon. So your evil thoughts against me is not going to prosper. The words that you say against me, it's not going to prosper. What a man soweth, so shall he reap. So you have to be careful, because you start wishing things on me or speaking things on me. You know what happened with the story that you guys are brought to believe with regarding Moses and Pharaoh. Pharaoh put a decree out all the firstborn of Egypt, didn't he? That kind of...
Say again, my brother.
I said that decree that Pharaoh put out on the firstborn, that backfired on him, didn't it?
How the old sisters back in the day used to say, when you dig one ditch, you better dig two.
Better dig two. It's just a universal law. What you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow evil stuff is to you. You sow stuff, and this is what...
Check your audio, brother. Message. I hear you breaking up a little bit.
Oh, okay. How we doing now?
Okay, sounds better.
That's better.
Let me get. You must be up with the cordless mic, like you back in Gethsemane.
Well, actually, I got my headphones on, and I was up starting to walk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But,
okay.
But it's important for us to understand the power that the tongue has. It's important for us to understand, and we won't begin to understand that until we begin to understand who we are. And we've got to do some soul searching, not Bible searching, not messenger searching, but soul searching within ourselves. And until we begin to do this, this is all like brass, just loud noise, because you have to be able to open up your heart and ears to hear what saith the Lord. And I say that boldly, what saith the Lord? This is not me. This is the Lord finding another avenue to let people know that he is the way, not the religion. It's him. Come straight, come to him boldly. You can come to him boldly, the same way you can go to your brother, your sister, anybody else. You can go to him. You can come to God just like that. But we've got this reverence thing. But we've got to understand. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with coming to him reverent and in a reverent way, and that's fine. But that's not the only way that you can come to him. You can come to him any way you choose. If I'm not mistaken,
I think that's something that most people, if you can understand that I can communicate with the Father while I'm driving, while I'm using the bathroom, and I know some people of Islamic religion might say, oh, or look at me crazy. No, while I'm doing anything that requires me to breathe, I can be in constant communication with the Father. It doesn't necessarily, and again, I don't think it ever actually requires the formality of, like in the Old Testament, they would tell you that the priest would go into the sanctum sanctorum, you know, the holiest of holies. And it was so holy in there, and they were so certain that the Creator Spirit was in there. When you went in the sanctum sanctorum, you had to be tied up with a chain, so that if you became weak, the other priests would pull you out. I think that, again, even from the Old Testament, we start to build on all the allegory and all the nonsense that we're going to add to this thing they call religion. But I don't think any of that is ever necessary. And again, if God is the God, the Alpha and Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith, then I'm sure, I just don't think he requires any of that.
Why would he? You've got to ask yourself, and not just you per se, but why would he require that? God, what we have to understand is God is everything. And if we want to, let's picture it like this, because I gotta use human terms for you to understand this. If you were a billionaire and you sitting up in your house, do you really care about anybody else around you? Whereas if somebody came to you, they'd have to kneel down. Is that what you would want? If you've got everything, would you be upset how somebody else came to you? We've got to understand that God is not man. God is a spirit. Just a ball of energy. Yes.
Hey, Brother Messenger. I have a question from one of our listeners in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
The question was, isn't ministry needed in order to teach the general public to understand, even to understand our ministry? Isn't that what? Go ahead, bro.
No. Yes, ministry is definitely needed. And when the disciples started out with their ministry, they had the good intentions. But what happened is man gets in the way. God could minister to you. And God, and the reason we are all messengers per se, because God lives in each and every one of us. There, throughout the day, people say something that just kind of flash with your spirit that makes you say, okay. And we are all doing it. We just don't recognize it because of what we've been, what religion has done to us. But yes, we're all ministers of the word because we all have the word in us. What do you think David was talking about? We look at it from a carnal sense, but what do you think David meant when he said, "His word do I hide in my heart"? Because that's where it is. That's where God is. And not our physical heart per se, but within us is God. And because God is within us, when we speak, when we get in line with who we are and we get in line with God, everything that we do and say is a ministry. Because what we're doing is we are living examples of what it's like to be one with God. So yes, ministry is very much needed, but it's gotta be a ministry based on truly getting to know God and not to get to know the God that they have portrayed. Because the God that they portrayed is not, who wants to worship somebody that if you look at them the wrong way, they're gonna send you into a fiery pit of hell, of fire for eternity. Is that how does that coincide with love? How does that coincide with understanding, forgiving, grace, and mercy? In one breath, you can't say he's all forgiving, he's all knowing, he's all kindness. You can't say that and then turn around and say, but if you don't get dipped in water, he ain't gonna forgive you.
Yeah, because the God that they teach about in the Old Testament, he get at you, wouldn't he? you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah turning the whole city into pillars of salt, and I mean, so why? Because they were, they began lewd and lascivious lifestyles, and again, if you stop and think about it, you can't do anything unless it's allowed by the Creator. So the fact that you allow that, then you want to stone people for that, again, that's a dichotomy now.
And here's another thing that we're missing as well. The bottom line, and this may not go well with people, but the bottom line is that you love one another. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to take love one another to different stages and stuff, but if a man loves another man, that's still love. So if it's still love, why would God be dissatisfied with that?
You know what, Brother Messenger? We talk about confirmation, and trust me when I tell you, I don't make this stuff up. Just the other day, a young lady at work, and when I say a Bible study partner,
uh-huh.
You know, me and this sister get at work, and she has opened my eyes, I mean, to the scripture of different things in there. In fact, she was the first one to ask me when we started talking about Adam and Eve.
Uh-huh.
Told me that in chapter 1, where God created man and woman, and then in chapter 2, he created Adam and Eve. Now, most people who read the Bible to this day still miss that.
Right.
He created
uh-huh.
man and woman, but then again, some Bible scholars would say the Bible itself is not written in any chronological order. But I believe that if it's not, I understand it's no chronological order to the books because they were just put together. But inside each book, there's a chronological order. Don't say it's a true order, but it's an order. So if they tell us first that God created man and woman, then they come back and talk about Adam and Eve. If you read that with a clearer understanding, there was a man and woman here before Adam and Eve. Maybe
when he created man and woman, that's what he did. The religion just narrowed it down, but this is what he did. Think about this. Do you really think that Adam and Eve are the mother and father and so on down the line for everybody on this planet? That's just not intelligent to think that. Because
just offering up a little resistance to that. I mean,
okay.
I could see where that could be possible. Because if Adam and Eve against the first, you know, but the story gets a little convoluted because the first two kids they have are male sons, so that's gonna set things back just a little bit.
Okay.
But if Adam and Eve, after Cain and Abel, they had a daughter.
Uh huh.
And Adam, or one of the sons now have sex with the daughter or procreate with the daughter. Now we have kids there, and so I could kind of see where that could be possible. But
all right, well, let me stop you. Let me stop you.
Go ahead.
Because it says that the sons, what they did when they got of age, they went out. They left. And when they went out and left, they came back with a wife.
Now, again, just trying to make sense of that or trying to show where that might fit. Well, when they went out, now again, they had other daughters. It doesn't say how long they were gone. And remember now, people in the Old Testament, they were living 600 or 700 years old, as by what we think it is today. So I'm just saying it might be possible after Cain and Abel, well, after Cain killed Abel and then he left, it might be possible that he left and through his travels bumped into a family member. Because now remember, in his travel, we ain't going far. I mean, he might have traveled to the other end of Eden. You know
okay,
what I'm saying?
So
as I try to make this fit into common sense, but the only thing that kills it for me is even if that happened, because again, humanly, it is possible that they just procreated themselves. It took a lot longer than they said. But if that is how mankind started, then I can't see how we could ever get to the point where incest would be considered wrong, illegal, or anything else. And yes, I want to go on record as saying I am not in favor of incest, but I'm saying it had to be incest to bring us to where we are today.
Well, funny you should mention that, because one of the things, well, not so much incest, but one of the things we have to be mindful of, too, is we've got the whole child rearing thing. We got that all confused, too. Because your childbearing ages are between 12 and 21, 22, something like that. Those are the prime years for childbearing. And what we've done is we've changed that from 12 to 21 or whatever to 25 to 30. And what we have to understand, and this is part of the reason why we're so lost, is because we've got kids raising kids. Technically, what's supposed to have happened is at those childbearing ages, you were supposed to bear children, and the parents are the ones to raise them. The grandparents, per se, the older people, because now they know a little bit more, so they are supposed to raise them.
So
but we're at
the... You're right. You're saying, so the woman between the ages of 12 and 25 just have babies.
Just have babies. If you're going to have babies, those are the years to have them, yes. That's how it was originally designed.
And then once you had a baby, the grandparents took care of the baby. Well, I guess if it went like that, then every year, I guess the mother would be pregnant with a new child.
No, not necessarily.
Okay, you know what? So in other words, I got you. Okay, I got lost a little bit. So just because you had the baby, the grandparents raised them, but the baby's still home with you.
Right, it's still your baby. It's just that they
raise them
because they're the ones that are training them. Because at 15, what you know, they could be telling me something. But as a grandparent, and remember, the grandparent now is in age where they've been around and they know some things, so they can really tell you the do's and the don'ts. But now, as an 18-year-old, what you really need, what do you really know about life that you can bring up another life?
Survival.
And what we've done is we've taken the great experience of the older generation and just totally tossed them away. We put them in nursing homes. We don't have anything else to do with them. And there's a lot of wisdom there. But we don't need it anymore because we think we got it all. And so nobody can't really tell us anything. So we've got that twisted as well. We've got so many things twisted, thinking that we know everything, and we don't know anything. Because it's hard to teach somebody something when they think they already know it. And this is the problem with getting people to open up their hearts and minds to the words in which we're telling them, because they think that they already know. And I'm willing to wager you on the fact that 60% of the people that walk around here so holy and this and that with God have never really even talked to God. They're basing everything off of something that their mother told them, or their father told them, or their cousin told them. They don't really know God. And I say that because, once again, I'll use that as an example. People are so easy to be misled because they want to be accepted and stuff. If God gave you the ability to sing, you think the only song you could sing is a gospel song? That's the only thing God want to hear is a gospel song? God know who he is. It's nice. I'm not taking anything away from it, but he don't need to hear about that all the time. You think God, don't you think God love a Teddy Pendergrass? A Michael Jackson? That those are gifts from God. But because of our beliefs, we believe it's wrong. And so either you're going to sing for God or you don't sing at all. Either you're going to go in the church and shout for God, or you ain't going out on no dance floor and dance. So So that's a gift that you're taking, that you're, that God has given you, that you're not allowing yourself to do because you've been told that that's not pleasing to God. And if it wasn't pleasing to God, would you be able to do it? Why would he bless you with that if it wasn't pleasing to him? There's a gift from God that we've just closed the door on because people told us it was wrong. Even though when you were out on that dance floor, you felt alive, you felt like you had the world on your shoulder. You had the world at your hand, at your feet, as you were dancing. The best you ever felt. And then they told you God didn't like it. So then you get rid of that joy that you had so that you could satisfy somebody else who probably can't dance, and that's why they don't want you dancing.
But, you know, that is so, so true. And way more times than not, people do that. You know, what you did before you, got saved, as if you weren't already. But before you got saved, you went to the club. Maybe you drank. Maybe you smoked. Maybe you did whatever you did. But you felt good about you. Now, again, when you start talking, when I keep in mind, or I keep in respect, when I say feel good about you, I mean, if you're doing dangerous things to yourself, it might make you feel good. But as we say, there's consequences that you're going to end up paying for that or going through for that. But if you're dancing in the church, say you at the club and your pastor's outside doing a street ministry and he see you come out the club, well, as Ricky Ricardo used to tell Lucy, you're going to have some explaining to do.
When
you really should.
Right.
You know, you're going to see your pastor, and guilt is just going to fill your heart up. For what? What was I doing in there? Enjoying myself?
Right. You're right. So what we've just done is we've just taken the joy from you. And you remember how they used to say, don't let nobody steal your joy? They're stealing it from them, and they don't even recognize it because they've been told that that is wrong. Now, it wasn't my style, but the way Michael Jackson danced, didn't people think that boy had special gifts to be able to, especially when he came out with the moonwalk and stuff? Nobody was thinking about that. That was like a special gift. But nobody don't see it like that unless they turn around and take it into the church and shout. Then all of a sudden it's good. But if I'm just out on the dance floor doing it, it's bad. It's so hypocritical, and what bothers me more than anything is that we don't see this. We just go with the flow for fear. Even though God has not given us the spirit of fear, we're scared of everything. We're so afraid that we're going to offend our very best friend. We are going to offend the person that said that they'd be more than a mother to us, more than a father to us. They said they'll be everything to us, but we're so afraid we're going to offend them that we stop doing it. Because not because he told you, but because somebody else told you. And this is what gets me.
Somebody else told you, and when it comes to somebody else telling you, because somebody else told you, and you probably value their opinion so much that you actually convince yourself
that's right. What
you're doing is wrong. And that's when it really becomes wrong.
And that's when it becomes condemnation.
Wrong,
exactly.
Right. Yeah, I won't say wrong, but that's when it becomes
wrong. Right, I understand what you meant.
You can't enjoy yourself now because you convinced yourself that this is not pleasing in the eyesight of God.
That's correct. That's correct. And so then what you do is you bring your own condemnation, your own hell upon yourselves. But instead, we'll blame it on the little devil. But it's us doing this stuff, and we've got to stop walking in that blind, I won't even call it faith, I call it blind stupidity. You've got enough sense to know some things, and you rather not because fear of making somebody else mad, so you rather be miserable your entire life just to make sure somebody else is happy? That just doesn't make sense. If you're happy, I should be. If you're happy doing something that I can see ain't going to kill you, if I can see that it's really something just good for you, why should I be mad about that? Regardless to what it is, why should I be mad about that? I'm not advocating this stuff, but if you happy sliding up and down a pool, shaking the body that God gave you, who am I to tell you no? But once again, because we've looked at that and consider it wrong, we say it's wrong, but those clubs be filled up every night. So even though we say it's wrong, somebody think it's right.
It's right to somebody, huh?
That's right.
And it goes back to what we counted all good.
There you go. Count it all good. And this is what we've got to understand. If it's not for me, then it's not for me. But that does not make it bad. It does not make it bad. And this is what we've got to understand and stop falling victim to such guilt. I mean, we've got to really look at the guilt that not only Christianity, but every single religion there is that they place on you. Now, why would God put that type of burden on you? Especially when he gave you free will. Why would he put this guilt trip on you when he told you, no, you go do whatever you want to do? If I'm correct me if I'm wrong, my brother, but isn't that what free will is? You're free to do whatever it is you want to do?
Whatever you want to do. Now, again, people confuse free will with no consequences. Free will I got free will. Yeah, you got free will, but if you go inside that bank and try to withdraw money you didn't put in, the same free will that gave you the nerve to do that is going to be the same free will that talks to you when you in that little 3x5 cell.
So that's correct.
You can go do it, but it don't confuse, because we're saying you can do whatever you want to do. Don't confuse that with, if I go do some craziness, that no craziness is going to come back to me.
Nope, because that's right, because we've made it clear, what a man soweth, so shall he reap. So, if you just want to just get crazy with your free will, go out and start loving people extra special. You got the free will to do that. See just how good you feel, and see how good you make somebody else feel. And see just how much better life can be. Instead of always trying to tear down someone, let's try to lift people up. Let's lift them up. Because it's just a joy that you get when you know you've done something good to help somebody. You just get it. It's just the glady glass that come over. Just knowing that you were able to help somebody. Now, and that's a great feeling. So because it's a great feeling, wouldn't you want to do it as much as possible?
Yes, sir.
You feel
for certain. One thing is for certain that it is definitely a great feeling. And again, it's a feeling that I was able to experience this week. And I might have spoke about it before, but to the radio audience, I want y'all to remember that both highs and highs just had birthdays, so we kicking 59 and 60. So if we repeat ourselves, just roll with us, all right? Roll with us. We're going to be all right. Yeah, but at work now, man, I'm telling you, it's people at work that I thought that I could never get past giving a sincere what's up to. That don't even affect me anymore, man. I can't really describe it.
Uh-huh.
But if you actually, but to feel it, it's a beautiful thing. I don't need that, because there was one guy at work, and I'm being for real with you, that he says something crazy to me, and rather than get into a whole fisticuff or mess him up like that, I decided we're gonna stop speaking. And it was so funny, because one day I'm not speaking to you, I forgot that I was supposed to be mad at him. And I felt so stupid, like, okay, now how can you not go back to speaking?
But it made me feel even stronger because it was funny that I had to actually try to remember what it was that he did.
Well, why you was speaking to?
That don't make sense.
Hey, but once again, you know what you do? You count that all joy. That's a testimony. That's God at work, bro. And you know what I mean?
Of
that's how God works.
Oh, and I recognize that, my brother. Oh, yes.
I know.
Yeah.
I just wish we had more people on or more people with that same conscious mind to look at things more in that order than in the order of... I don't like the way they looked at me, so I'm never speaking to them again. We don't know what was going on with that person that day. They might have had all kind of other issues and stuff, and we're going to let just that one thing or two things, because you got to remember there are some people that are walking around here in the darkness. They have not come to the light, and that's where you have to understand that you are the light. And so they, in order for them to see God, they got to see you. And if they don't see God, they may never get to see him in their lifetime. But don't get it twisted. They will see him. You got no choice. That's one choice you have. So why not see him now and walk in the glory instead of going through this over and over again trying to figure out who you are or whose you are? That's important for us, and I know we say it on a regular basis all the time, but that is so important, and if the people could just stop, as they would say, stop hating, and just try, it says try God. Don't try messenger, don't try hide the hodge, no, try God. Now, you've been trying religion most of your life. Try God as far as getting to truly know him. Now, that does not mean that once you do that, you're going to stop going to church. You just see things different. You'll probably stop because those stories that they're telling you, you'll see where that has nothing to do with your life and what God wants from you. You'll go for the fellowship because you there are brothers and sisters there that you've grown attached to. So you'll go to the fellowship. But not because you need a word, because anytime you need a word, you can get a word. You can get a word. And that's what we have to understand. God ain't got no special person to deliver his word. Everybody is here to deliver his word. It's just who's going to take heed to what is being said. And instead of accepting it as his word, you think, oh, the messenger got some kind of angle. I ain't got no angle. What they saying? What did Brother Bain say?
I'm telling you, I ain't no hustler. I'm telling you guys.
All right. It's not a hustle. It's not a hustle. God is so good, and we're wasting valuable time. Spending our time. Spending it for nothing. Some stuff that makes no sense whatsoever. God has told us that we have the power to do any and everything. We can heal. We can do everything. And what do? Soon as something go wrong, what do? And once again, please understand me. I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. I'm not saying don't listen to a doctor or anything. But shouldn't you check with God first? He made this body.
You know what our answer to that is?
Uh-huh.
You know what our answer to that is?
Yeah, I know.
He
blessed
that's
them.
That's why God blessed the doctor.
Uh-huh, right, yeah.
That's how we get it. But, you know, because, again, for us now, in the old days, like, you know, I take it back to days before we became a working class people.
Uh-huh.
When you didn't have money to go to the
that's
doctor.
That's right. That's
mama,
right.
Mama looked at you and they gave you some rubber tusks and told you
go
lay down.
Uh-huh.
And when you understood that you do not have the funds to go to the emergency room like we do today, you understood when you woke up. Now, you tell me how you got fixed.
That's right. Exactly, bro. You 100%. Or they go out in the backyard and mix some mud and some collard greens together scrub it and rub it on your forehead, and the rash is gone. And that's just something I made up, but I'm just saying how they could.
What's it? You don't have to use the mud, but I know I was in Alabama one year, and my mother-in-law, God bless her soul, because she is definitely with the father right now. Hey, mother, took a plant, an aloe vera plant, and rubbed it on my little bros. Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
I mean, just showing some of the natural things that we do.
That's right.
That we got away from, and again, we got away from it because that's when grandmama was grandmama instead of the same age as your mama. So you had those years of experience and maturity.
Look at God.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
See, I came to you. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
well,
again, when you... I have acknowledged to myself that I accept the Creator. I accept the fact that I walk around here as a direct representative of God because He is in me. I accept that. And I got to tell you, it makes you be a little different.
That's
sometimes
right.
It might make
that's
people think you might be a little peculiar, as they might say.
That's right.
But it makes you feel different. I mean, again, it don't mean that every day I walk around here in monk uniform. Because if you catch me on Wednesday night doing my podcast, again, another thing that I love, I do that with passion. And it's not to be confused, because sometimes you may hear me on Wednesday nights and be like, oh, why the brother going to have a ministry on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, but on Wednesday night he getting loose? You know what? That's still my ministry.
That's right. And once again, because once here we go again, we're getting tied up in these words per se, because we think that we are so big and bad that we could offend God. How can that be? How can the word ass offend God? Even some of the other stuff, MFs and all that stuff, do you really think that offends God? Do you really think it?
Anything that offends the supreme being, the deity of the universe, the author, the finisher of all faith, the grand architect of the universe, if it offends him, then it won't be.
What was that, bro?
If it offends him, then it won't be, because it can't be.
That's right. That's right.
We go
That's
back
just
to, we go back to what it is or it is not.
That's, the isness. All right, bro.
That's
all right.
What I'm saying.
The isness. That's your one.
It's either with him or it ain't with him. If it ain't with him, it ain't.
And if it ain't, it can't be.
It can't be. That's right.
And somebody's saying, well, what is they talking about? I am that I am. I am everything. I am that I am.
Here he is. And what's this? And back in the day, when he made that statement, he could have just dropped the mic and walked off.
Hey, that's pretty much what he did.
That's
pretty much what he did. Yeah. But. Moses wasn't ready for drop the mic, so he said, I better take these tablets down there.
I'm going to go up in the mountain, and lightning going to come down with such beautiful handwriting, and going to write the laws. I mean, he could have just put them in Moses' heart. Moses could have just told the people.
Just told the people. He was telling them everything else.
Yeah, but...
But not only that, but remember, according to the story, God wrote the Ten Commandments. What did Moses do with the Ten Commandments? He was pissed off. He threw it at him and broke it. Now God just took his time to write that, and you threw it and broke the tablets. Make you say, Yellow.
Sure do.
Oh, okay. He broke the tablet. You just was in the presence of God, and you came down, and you seen that, and you just forgot all about the fact that you was just in the presence of God, and just through the Ten Commandments. Well, God took his time to write, to give you instructions on. That's that just goes to show the fallacy in that.
Because if I just came out of being in the presence of the Almighty, there is literally nothing you could possibly do to me to make me angry, because I just left the source.
The source. Hello.
Not a representative. Yeah, not
that's
a representative
right.
of the source. I just left the source. And now I come down here and you folks have got out of hand to the point where I just left God himself and I looked at you and I got angry. So that means you don't believe you just left the source.
So if that was me, that means I'd have to turn around and go back.
I got to go check
that. Yeah, I got to go back.
You know, if I just left the presence of God, honestly, man, it wouldn't matter to me if I came down from the mountain and everybody was inside of everybody. It wouldn't matter to me. I'm going to give you the word that I just got to give you, and I'm going to let you go about your business, man. I can't worry about that because...
That's just how it is right now when you get in tune with yourself. Amen. That's confirmation for us, brother. Because when we get in tune with ourselves and we have that talk with God, a lot of stuff ain't going to bother us. It's not going to bother us. Why? Because we know. We done seen, we read the book. We seen the movie. We know the ending. This is just a play put out before us. But we've seen the transcript. We know what the end's going to be. So we don't have to worry about, is he going to make it over the cliff? You know why? Because we already know. So we don't have to sit at the edge of our seat trying to wonder this or that, because we already know. And so a lot of this stuff will not bother you. You do just like Jesus did. Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
If I just came out of being in the presence of the Creator, I would probably still be on such a spiritual high that I probably couldn't even pay y'all no attention for at least a couple of days.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I just take it. Maybe it took him a couple of days to come down out the mountain because he had to go all the way up to the top to meet God, because God couldn't come down to meet him, so he went all the way up there. So maybe it took him a couple days to come down.
The lightning don't scribe as good on the lower.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's what it is.
But people still buy the story, though.
They buy it. Buy it hook, line, and sinker.
And sometimes I think we buy stories just because it is more convenient to maintain what we already know rather than relearn the correctness of it.
You know what it is? You are correct. It is a convenience. Plus, people are afraid. People are afraid that if they get to know God, something else is going to be required of them that they don't want to do. They're afraid that if they come to know who God is, they might not be able to play basketball on Sundays. So because of that, I choose not to truly. I'll go with the story y'all giving. Because some things I still want to do. And they feel that if they get in touch with God, that they won't be able to do it anymore. Not understanding that if it's something that you want to do, God is not going to stop you. He's not punishing you from doing whatever it is you want to do. But when you truly get to know God, there are certain things that you won't do anymore because you have no playing basketball or baseball or any of those type of things are one of the things that's going to change from you. You might not play it as much because of the fact that you want to tell somebody the good news. So instead of playing baseball, you might be out telling people the good news. Mm. And then you think, well, I don't want to live a life like that. Well, think, who wouldn't want to walk with Jesus? Who wouldn't want to hang out with Buddha all the time? That's what they did. And people gathered to hear Jesus speak. They still quoting stuff from Buddha to this day. Next to Jesus, can you find a more loving person than Buddha? Nope.
Amen.
And if you do any kind of research, you'll find that the two of them got pretty much the same story.
Well, no, it wasn't Buddha. It was who did you say it was the name?
No, that was regarding
birth.
Their birth.
Oh, okay.
That was regarding their birth. The
I don't know that much about Buddha.
Buddha was a monk. And he was more into the spiritual. And if you look, Buddha was more about spiritual thinking and believing than actual religion type of stuff. And if you think about it, Jesus was more into the spirit too. They just labeled the stuff after him. But Jesus, if you listen
right.
to his teachings and stuff, just talked about the spirit, getting inside yourself and dealing with you so that you can know who you are.
So what religion was Buddha with? He was just a monk?
Buddha?
Yeah.
It's
what religion would that be?
Honestly, man,
it's
Buddhism.
Oh, okay, all right, Buddhism, all right. Only thing I know about Buddha, and honestly, is that rubbing his stomach is supposed to be good luck if you believe in him.
Well, let me tell you something, but this we'll have to get into this on at a later time. We have what is called chakras in us, different parts of the body where there's chakras where energy flows and stuff within us. This is all part of the spiritual part. All right. And so to some degree, the rubbing the belly, I can kind of understand. This is still a little far-fetched, but I can understand that because we have certain places in us where energy resides. And every now and then we've got to, as they would say, stir up the gift. We've got to get that energy flowing, and as that energy flows, then it's more than just having a talk and doing. Because of who we are, we got such great power that is just dormant. It's been dormant for since our existence. And so within this body that God created is such a magnificent piece of work. You can't duplicate this anywhere. No one else has ever been able to do anything like God has done with this body.
Hey, Brother Messenger, listen, we got a minute 30 seconds to go, so we're going to bring this podcast to a close.
My brother, it was a pleasure speaking. It looked like it was just you and I today, but hopefully this will go out and someone will take heed and hear and call in. Or even if they don't call in, if they just stop for a moment and look at the man in the mirror and get to know him a little better, then our living has not been in vain.
Well, I'm already certain our living is not in vain because, again, it's not a new concept. It's a different concept that we introduced to the world, and I'm starting to get questions about it. And again, it went from totally not wanting to hear what it is that we're trying to say because we weren't advocate followers of what was supposed to be the inestimable gift from God to man, the Bible, and they thought it was kind of a mockery of religion. But more and more people I speak to understand that, no, this is about getting closer to God, not getting away from God. So, podcast audience, I want to say I thank you for engaging us for this hour and the messenger. And I also want to tell you that be on the lookout because we're going into publication in about 45 days, and the messenger will have his first book in stores, and I'm pretty sure it's going to make top sellers list. So I'm going to say goodnight tonight, and I look forward to talking to everybody on the Saturday night, 11 o'clock. Good night, my brother.
Good night, my brother. Love you.
Love you too, bro.
All right, bro.